I'm Webb Lewis, for those of you that I don't know. Several months ago, they asked me to help teach this Sunday school this fall. And at the time, it sounded like a great idea. I've got months to prepare. And then I blinked, and here we are. And what happened, I was supposed to teach on Samson, which was going to be great. I thought it ironic they chose the bald guy to teach on Samson. But Brian got out of order and taught on Samson and left me with, when I looked it up, Judges 17 and 18 is a haunting tale of idolatry, moral collapse, and the tragic consequences of everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. So I appreciate that, Brian. It's not heavy, heavy scripture at all. So thinking about this, never taught Sunday school here, but I do teach. I teach at Ole Miss. I teach writing and marketing, and then I work in the marketing department. And one of the main things I do is I have to identify audiences to communicate with. Prospective students, for example. How do you communicate with a 16 and a 17-year-old? You do that differently than you would an alumni that may be 50 or 60 years old. You use different language. I feel like I'm pretty good at that. But there's about four different generations in here, so I struggle with what I could use to tie this scripture together. For example, I did this assignment in my class, and Les would be proud of this because I'm about to use a movie reference. Just one, though. I asked my class of 20-year-olds to translate "You shall not pass," which is from Lord of the Rings. If the baby boomer generation said "You shall not pass," how would the other generations say that? Because we all communicate differently. Gen X, "Nope, not over my dead body." That was their response. Millennials was, "Look, I really don't want you to pass. They told me not to let you. If you really want to, though, I can turn my back. I'm not sure." I'm a millennial. I get it. And then Gen Z was, "Nah, brah." That was it. That's how they came up with it. For this particular scripture, it is riddled with what I call red flags. I think we all know what red flags are, but just for the sake of this, what is a red flag, Carla? What's a red flag? Yeah, that's a red flag. A warning. Ron, what do you think?
A big blinking light sign.
Exactly. Sometimes we ignore those. When I turned 40, my check engine light came on in my body, and I'm just going through it every day. It's there. That's exactly right. They're indicators of something is wrong or could lead to trouble. That's what red flags are. Now, Judges chapters 17 and 18 are riddled with red flags. And what we're going to do is I'm going to steal a chapter out of Brian's book that Brett loves, and that's small group activities. I love small group activities, especially in the Sunday school setting, because that's what it's one of the things that drew us to Sunday school in the early stages, right? Getting to sit there and talk with each other. And that's what we're going to spend the next 8 to 10 minutes doing. But each section has a different assignment. Over here, we'll call it Johnny's section. If y'all can pair up into groups of 3, 4, 5, I really don't care, just however you think you can communicate. And you're going to have Judges 17, chapters 1 through 6. I'll tell you what to do with that once you get there. This section, Carla's section, Judges 17, 7 through 13. That will be your chapters, your verses. This section, Brian, Judges 18, chapters 1 through 20. And then our far side over here on the left, 21 through 31. So 17, 1 through 6, 17, 7 through 13, 18, 1 through 20, 18, 21 through 31. I recognized last night that I didn't do any slides, probably should have. Sorry about that. All right, so what we're going to do is read those scriptures and then discuss what red flags come out in those scriptures. What warning signs do you see? There's actually a lot. Just in verses 1 through 6, I counted 4. There may be more. All right, so try to identify what those red flags are in your assigned text. Take that time, talk about what they are. Why are these actions or attitudes problematic according to God's word? And how might similar red flags appear in today's world? All right, take a few minutes and work on that together. Please discuss, talk about it. What are the red flags? All right, let's see what we came up with. So before I call on anyone, and again, I am certainly no biblical scholar, I came up with four in the first section, three here, and then two in each of these. So we'll see where we are. Let's start over here with Judges 17, 1 through 6. Brett, did you come up with a red flag out of your group? Making carved images, is that what you said? Shrines. It's definitely one of them, I would think, right? Yeah. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Good. Yes. Stealing from his mother. Picked his own priest. Yeah. The four I came up with from verse 2, stealing from his mother. He takes 1,100 pieces of silver and breaking the commandment against theft. And the red flag there, a lack of moral integrity, even within his own family. The second one in verses 3 and 4, his mother dedicates stolen silver to God but makes an idol with it. A direct violation of the second commandment. Mixing false worship with supposed devotion to God. The third one in verse 5, I found Micah builds a personal shrine and appoints his son as priest. He creates his own version of worship outside of God's ordained structure. The red flag there is self-made religion that ignores God's commands. And then the last one in verse 6, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So we got all four of those. Good job, section. A society operating without God's authority leads to moral relativism. I can never say that word. All right, I got three in the next section, 7 through 13. I found two others. That is definitely the first one I found. In verses 10 and 12, did anyone see anything there? Why did the Levite become Micah's priest? He paid him, gave him stuff, right? And then there's another I found in verse 13, and then we'll go over all three again. 100%. False confidence. So in verses 7 through 9, a Levite seeking personal gain. The Levite is wandering instead of serving faithfully in the tabernacle, seeking better opportunities, prioritizing self-interest over God's calling. In verses 10 through 12, the Levite becomes Micah's priest for silver, clothes, and food. He legitimizes Micah's idolatrous worship. Spiritual leaders compromising truth for material benefits. And then lastly, Micah's false confidence. He believes God will bless him because he has a Levite as his priest. Misplaced trust in rituals or appearances instead of genuine obedience. All right, Judges 18, 1 through 20. I only found two. That's a lot of text, I know. How about it, Billy? No king? Yep. And what else? They did go to a sketchy priest. Did they steal anything? Multiple wrongs. In verse 1, the tribe of Dan seeks new territory. Instead of trusting God to secure their allotted inheritance, they search for easier land. Faithlessness and disobedience to God's plan is the red flag. And in verses 14 through 20, the Danites steal Micah's idols and priests. They justify theft and idolatry for their own purposes, justifying sin for personal or communal benefit. All right, and I found two in the last section. A lot to, and y'all did have some of the heavier verses in the entire section. The two I came up with were Micah's helplessness in verses 24 through 26. He's losing his idols, but not his relationship with God. His misplaced priorities, valuing possessions over faith. And then in verses 30 and 31, the Danites establish a shrine for their stolen idols. They institutionalize idolatry, corrupting their worship for generations. This is a legacy of unfaithfulness passed down to future generations. So the red flags highlight a progression of compromise that leads to community moral chaos. And if unchecked, that's where it heads into the corruption. Now, three points, quick points, not less points, that I want to look at And I'll ask a question after each one that I hope we can answer together, because I actually don't have the answers to them. Identifying the red flags. In Judges 17, 1 through 6, Micah creates his own shrine, idols, and appoints his son as a priest. These actions violate God's commands. We talked about that. In faith today, when personal preferences or culture trends replace biblical worship. So the question is, what are signs that our worship may be more about us than God? What about on a smaller scale? I'm not going to sing this song because I don't really like it. Anything else? What are signs that our worship may be more about us than God? It's a question I hope you keep in your back pocket for later. Judges 17, 7 through 13, a Levite agrees to become Micah's priest, legitimizing idolatry for personal gain. So this is in leadership, when spiritual leaders prioritize convenience or popularity over truth. The question is, how can we guard against compromising biblical principles for personal or societal approval? Now, I'll say this. I have lived in more than 40 homes in my life. I've lived in 17 different counties in this state. I wasn't an Army brat or anything. My father was a high school football coach. Not a great one, so that's one of the reasons we moved around as much as we did. But I can tell you that I was born in the Delta, I've lived all over the place, and that Oxford is different than anywhere else I've ever lived. There's a bubble here, you know that. Things are different, and I think that this may be one of the more challenging things for people to do here, and myself included. So how do we guard against compromise? How do we guard against compromising biblical principles for personal or societal approval when society is so loud? Absolutely. You're doing part of it by being here today. You'll find that the answer to a lot of these is not ignoring red flags when they happen. Lastly, Judges 18, the Danites steal Micah's idols and priests, leading to further corruption and violence. They ignored the red flags, and it led to spiritual and moral breakdowns in communities. So the strength of the community, it's only as strong as acknowledging and dealing with those red flags when they come along. So what are the long-term effects of tolerating or ignoring red flags in our spiritual lives? That's kind of what you just talked about. You're avoiding moral breakdowns in those communities. So the encouragement here, and there is some, is obviously call for repentance and alignment with God's word as the ultimate standard. The big thing is not ignoring those red flags. So let me run through this. And I did it just the way that I needed to. I didn't want to open it up for questions because I'm probably wasn't going to be able to answer it. I was going to direct everything to Brian. So we're right there. So kind of recapping, Micah's idolatry and self-made religion, the Levites' compromise and prioritization of personal gain, the Danites' faithlessness and institutionalized sin. Each of these red flags was a warning sign that God's people were drifting away from him. Ignoring these signs led to moral chaos and spiritual decay, not just for individuals, but for entire communities. Just as in Judges, we face red flags in our spiritual lives every day. Warning signs that something is pulling us away from God. These can appear in our worship, in our relationships, in our workplace, in our priorities, in our homes, and the choices we make. When we justify little compromises in our faith, like prioritizing convenience over obedience, or allowing cultural norms to dictate our beliefs, we risk walking the same path as Micah and the Danites. So the key takeaway I have is red flags are God's way of calling us back to him before it's too late. So pay attention to the signs, both in your personal life and in your community. Ask God to help you recognize and address anything that might be leading you astray. And let's encourage ourselves to reflect on this week. Are there areas where we've seen red flags but haven't addressed them? And what steps can we take to realign with God's word and his will? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that warns us and guides us. Help us to see the red flags in our lives and turn back to you with humble hearts. May we be people who seek you first in all things. In your name, amen.